Love Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello, welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational programming. I am your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got an awesome show planned for you tonight, and we're so glad that you're here. Thank you for joining us. We are glad that you've taken time out to be with us. Let's go to the international man himself, Pastor Steele Rowe, and let's welcome him and have him give us our opening prayer briefly. Pastor Rowe.
Good evening, everyone, and it's glad to be here. I'm glad to be here, and I always look forward to being on this show because we can in a position to hurt, to help, you know, one another. So to Dr. Walker and to all our family and friends that are on the call, I love you, and we're going to work together with Dr. Walker to accomplish great exploits. Eternal God, our Father, whose command is over all and whose love never fails, help us always to be mindful of your presence and obedient to your will. We thank you so much, Lord, that we are in a position to make a difference in the lives of many and to impact their lives, Lord, to improving and restoring relationships. Thank you so much, Lord, for our leader that you've given us and leader of leaders and for our leaders that are on the call, and everyone, we just thank you for this day. And we give you honor, glory, and praise. This prayer we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. Let's go ahead and welcome our various co-hosts. Let's go here and bring in, let's see, I think we have Ms. Joyce on the line. Ms. Joyce, are you with us tonight?
Yes, I am. Pastor Walker, and I mean, thank you so much for Dr. Walker for having me here, and hello to all the co-hosts.
All right. Thank you for being here with us. We're so glad that you're here. All right, let's go ahead and welcome the lady, the international lady who needs no introduction. That's Miss J. Miss J, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you, and I'm glad to be here again. And I'm ready to listen to everybody's thoughts on our topic tonight.
All right. We're certainly glad to have you. We'll bring you back in just a moment to give us that disclaimer. Let's go ahead and welcome Shield of Faith. Shield of Faith, it's good to hear your voice. Shield of Faith, thanks for being with us this evening. All right. Shield of Faith, perhaps we're missing her right now. Let's go ahead and bring in Sparkles. Sparkles, we're glad to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Dr. Walker and the listening audience. I look forward to the topic of discussion tonight.
All right, excellent. We're certainly glad to have you here. Let's go ahead and bring in Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer, thank you for joining us.
Great to be here, Dr. Walker, and ready for the topic tonight.
All right, excellent. Darren Deedy, thank you for joining us. We're glad you're here.
Hello, everybody, TGIF, and another exciting message tonight. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Excellent. Okay, so now tonight we're starting out our show, and the question becomes, what does the Word God say about intimacy, romance and intimacy? Last night we talked about how long should a man or woman wait to be intimate in a new relationship. So I want to start out tonight and ask the question, what does the Word of God say about romance and intimacy? Now, you know, God said be fruitful and multiply. when was it that he came along and he said that that marriage comes into play, or was it where Moses introduced that? And let me begin by going to, let's go with Pastor Roland and start that out. Pastor Roland, did God ever say anything about intimacy, a romance, other than be fruitful and multiply? Or did he bring in marriage as a factor?
Okay, well, that's true, you know, be fruitful and multiply. And, you know, it does talk about, you know, becoming one, you know, and it talks about Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So you know what I'm saying there, you know. And so when we do come together in the right manner, in the right way, it's with the opposite sex, you know, and not, you know, two women or two men, so on and so forth. Be fruitful and multiply and love one another. That's the only thing right off, you know, the top of my head I can think, loving one another, the ones that you're with and within and without. Thank you, Dr. Walker.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Darren Dede, I want to bring you in here. Darren Dede, was there a Mosaic law? And if so, as it pertains to marriage, was there a Mosaic law that he presented before God?
I don't know word for word, but it is a man and a woman. Never seen man to man or woman to woman. That's
okay,
what you're asking
all right.
me.
No, it was a Mosaic law as it pertains to marriage. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, I want to bring you in here and ask the question, Demon Slayer. The laws, there's man's law and then there's God's law. Would you say that's fair to say?
I say that's fair to say.
Okay, so having said that, so Moses talked about certain laws. Was Moses talking about the laws of God, or to your knowledge, did Moses have some laws that he introduced that made it the Mosaic law, origin of Moses?
I don't know.
Okay, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let's go here to Ms. Joyce. Ms. Joyce, I want to bring you in here. So, Ms. Joyce, I want to ask this question, and we're going to come back to the Mosaic Law. But first, let's go to Ms. J with a disclaimer. Ms. J.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and let's enjoy the program tonight.
All right, great. Thank you for that, Ms. J. So just to give you all a point of reference, this show or any of these shows is never to present or infer or imply any information that could appear to be misleading, misdirected, misguided. Just like Ms. J. read in the disclaimer, it's for educational and informational purposes only. And the question, the lines of questions are often presented to give all the listeners, including myself, something to think about in terms of going back or taking a first attempt at researching information for ourselves rather than having a detrimental reliance on what someone else says. It's all about having a detrimental reliance for you to actually go in and say, right, you know, you may want to take some notes. I do on every show. And then I go back and I do some extensive research because it's not, I'm never trying to come across as having all of the answers because I don't. And so some of these questions that come in are coming from various sources, and I'm presenting them as you're presented to me in hopes that all of us out here can find a way to go back and do our research and perhaps come back and have a conversation, an intelligent conversation about it. So that's what it is. It's never to put anyone on the spot you know, probably half of these questions that are presented, my answer would probably be, I'm not sure about that. I don't know. That's something I'd have to look into to get back with. And certainly it's not an embarrassing thing for, as far as I'm concerned, for someone that may not have the answers for that. But we're all here for education and informational purposes to gain something that can really cause us to trigger our mind to say, I never thought about that. Let me go back and take a look at that. So that tonight's topic, what does the Word of God say about intimacy? Now, recognizing, and I want to go back to, let me go here to Ms. Joyce again. Ms. Joyce, we are born or created or born through our mother's wombs. Where our developmental stages, you've looked at the theorists and so forth and so on, Abraham Maslow, Piaget, and a lot of these theorists and scholars that have come along to try to figure some stuff out through our developmental stage. So, Ms. Joyce, the question becomes, part of our developmental stages is we're part of the animal kingdom. We are part of nature. Nature is about reproduction. God designed it that way. So within us, we have hormones. And by the time we get to, 9 through 14, even young ladies start to have their cycles as early as perhaps 9, and in some cases even younger. So this is part of nature. So is it wrong to say that when we start having these through our developmental stages, it's a natural thing? So then when a boy meets a girl in his teenage years, then, these hormones become imbalanced, and because it's part of our nature, so what are we supposed to do with that, Ms. Joyce? We're just asking the question. You're 16. What are you supposed to do with that?
Well, as you grow, like you said, those hormones do kick in, and, you have these urges and so forth. It's a part of nature. It's natural. And it's all depending on whether or not you're in tune with certain things like the Bible and other teachings as to how you react to those situations.
All right. We're going to have to stand by. Ms. Jay, I want to bring you in here. Ms. Jay, when I was teaching in school, I had middle school kids where their hormones are totally out of control. And so you got 12 and 13-year-olds, and they're making out in the hallways. I mean, like, in between class, they're just kissing like they just got married. And so one of my female students, I mean, I'm appalled at this because I'm looking at, this could be my daughter, and I'm about to hurt some boy up in here. And so I was about to have a student suspended, Miss J. And then I called the mother. The mother came out to see me for a conference. This is her 12-year-old daughter in seventh or eighth grade. And she said, well, Dr. Walker, why are you so disturbed that my daughter was, and they use the term, making out in the hallway with her boyfriend? I say, well, I just think that that's inappropriate for a little seventh or eighth grade student to be doing. That's just not appropriate. And the way that they were kissing was like they were married and just got married on their honeymoon. And the mother really complained about me because she said, why are you so upset when they're doing a natural act? I couldn't, Miss Jay, I didn't even know how to respond to that. A mother is saying this, that my daughter's doing a natural act. And so at 12 or 13, Miss Jay, how would you have responded to that mother had you been the classroom teacher?
Well, she is performing a natural act, but she's performing it at the wrong location. In a public place like that, the mother, that she needs to talk to the child about, you get a certain age, you get your hormones and you start getting certain feelings, but you have to be discreet with it. You just can't do it out in public. So, why she would get upset with you and ask you, why are you getting upset? I would question that mother as far as that, to not talk to that child and let her know that's not the place to act upon that, It was kind of weird.
Yeah, so the thing is now, well, not only the place, but if my little girl, somebody call me and tell me my daughter at 13, even at 14, 15, 16 in school, and even 17 in school, I'm about to go over there to that school. I'm just leaving, and I'm like, you know what, girl? You're on punishment for the next 2 years until you turn 18. I mean, am I from another planet or what?
Yeah, you are. You are from another planet. You done went all the way to Mars somewhere, you know.
Help me, somebody.
Now since you bring it out like that, it's a natural thing, you know, and kids are going to be interested, want to explore. They see this on TV. They get their little homework, their feelings themselves. And then when they see the act, their feelings seem to get, you know, more increased, I guess you can say. And then the little boys feel them quicker than the girls. Now, take that back.
Yes.
The girls feel it quicker than the boys
uh-huh.
when they're young for some reason. Because I know a lot of little older girls have turned out a lot of little young boys. So, you know.
Yes.
Which is
yes.
true. So, you know, but... You know, so you shouldn't lock her up, get upset. All you need to do is talk to your child, teach her, talk to her that it's nature. It's nature. It's human nature. And as you get older, you would experience even more. But you got to talk to them. Don't get upset.
Okay,
brother.
So now, Miss J, as you're saying that now, here it is. One of my eighth grade students that got suspended that they sent to me, and I'm really reprimanding these kids and telling them, I need you all to balance these hormones, which is natural, and then the parents are getting upset with me. So now this one, another parent, okay, she's like, Dr. Walker, I love you, but you know what? Let these kids do their natural thing. I'm saying in 7th and 8th grade, are you serious? Okay, not on my watch. But anyway, you're the parent, and I'm in loco parentis, which means in place of the parent as a school teacher. And so now... One of these same parents that fussed me out, you know, her daughter was sent to me for 10 days, and then I extended her days in a program where they get suspended. They come to me. And so turns out that I extended the girl's program, trying to teach her a little bit more for the short term she was with me. And then she went back to her school, her regular school, and within 6 months, that girl was pregnant. The next year, after she had the baby, she comes back. The mother brings her over to see me. Well, Dr. Walker, and she's a proud grandmother. Her daughter's only 14 now and with a one-year-old baby. And the boy was in the car, the father. He's 14. So, Miss J, so now we're talking about this natural act that these are kids with a baby. He's not even old enough to have a job. So was I wrong to not, you know, to kind of try to keep them away from their own natural way of life? Was I wrong, Miss Jane?
You wasn't wrong to stop the display of that at school, but I would have put it on that parent's shoulder that, you know, you need to take it from here, you know, because that child, she should have put the fear in that child and talked to that child so she could understand what can happen if you continue to do these things. The child probably didn't even know. She's just enjoying herself because we're feeling good. You know, but everything that feels good to you, you could deal with some consequences. That parents should have just told her outright, stop trying to sugarcoat stuff, you know.
Okay.
So I
have another parent, another girl who couldn't stand her mother. This was a 12-year-old. She did not like her mother. She lived with her grandmother. Okay? Mm-hmm. This girl is 12. Guess how old Miss J, her mother was?
Probably, 18?
No. This girl is 12 now. She couldn't have had her at 3.
Okay.
But
her mom was about 20 then.
That means her mother would have been 8.
19 or 20?
No, that means her mother would have been 8 or 9. Let's give her the benefit of doubt.
That's possible.
But anyway.
That's possible.
Okay.
That's possible.
But this girl was 12. She couldn't stand her mother. So she lived with the grandmother. Her mother was, she's 12, her mother is 25. And guess how old the grandmother was, Miss J? Just take a guess how old the grandmother was.
The mother was 25, so the grandmother probably
yes.
was about 38, 39, 40.
The grandmother was 39 years old.
Yeah.
39 years old. And do you know when I used to try to talk to these kids, that same girl who's 12 that couldn't stand her mother that appreciated me in my class, do you know she's a grown woman now because she's the same age my younger daughter is. So she's now like 38 or 39. She found me on social media on Facebook, and she wrote me the longest, most beautiful letter that because she listened to me in middle school. That young lady listened to me, and she was so thankful that I had a talk with her. Now she's married with about 3 kids, but she waited because she didn't want to fall in the footsteps of her mother. So now my question goes, before we bring in Dee from Georgia and before we bring in Sir Ben, Miss J, my question becomes now, I mean, here I'm trying to do something to kind of get them to think about things. So when we talk about the Word of God, and the Word of God talks about, you know, and it'll be pointed out tonight that we should abstain from marriage, I mean from intimacy, until marriage. But what happens when our hormones are out of control and we're now trying to preach to other people when we ourselves didn't even follow that rule? Miss A, talk to me.
Well, you can't. My thing, I just, you know, I ask my younger people to abstain from all that. But if you can't for some reason, just stay safe. You know, that's all I can say. But it won't happen to them what this young lady, what happened to them, you know. Because, like you said, we probably didn't do it, and we asking them to do it. But you just bring it to their attention, let them understand it, and they're going to make their own decision anyway. Because we can't control the natural hormonal people, you know.
We certainly are. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's bring in Sir Ben. Sir Ben, welcome to tonight's program. Thank you for your patience.
No, no problem. Good evening and a happy, fantastic, fervent Friday.
All right. Let's go ahead and bring in Dee from Georgia. Dee from Georgia, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your patience as well. Dee, what do you think is, I mean, here we are. We're looking at the Word of God, and we don't have a problem, but many of us don't, breaking the commandments of not killing anybody because, you know, we don't, even though we might get upset, but we're not trying to kill people. But then, you know, we do some other stuff, you know, we find ourselves, you know, committing adultery because you're having problems, and now it's like you, with your spouse, you're running in the arms of somebody else. So, or then you're married and you're still out there with trying to get on with somebody else, or you're not and you're trying to get there. So what is happening to us, Dee from Georgia?
Well, I've had several conversations with several people that have the attitude about the kids, or it's okay, and this time you're way back in old school, whatever. And I feel like that there are certain values that you need to stick with. They can call them old school if they want to, because when you keep making adjustments to certain values and those things that you, those commandments, but we have our own rules, house rules or life rules. But when you keep making adjustments to go with the time, they become worldly. You become worldly. They become worldly. The choices become worldly. And then it's a low or fast trail downhill, whichever choices you decide to adjust.
Okay, but so Dee, let me ask you this, because I'm not sure where you're taking us, but go ahead.
Excuse me?
I'm not sure where you're taking us. I'm not sure where we're going, where you're going with this. Tell us where you're going with it, please.
People saying the children, it was okay for them to do what they were doing because, you know, you got to stay with the times with the kids. And I was just saying there's people that have adjusted morals instead of telling the kids, you know, no, you can't do this and you shouldn't. They're agreeing with them and letting it be okay.
Okay, so then let me ask this. Would you say, Dee, in 10 seconds or less, would you say that the Word of God is the authority on the way that we should live? Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
Okay, so then with that in mind, 10 seconds or less, Dee from Georgia, then, you know, does there become a comma after God has spoken or a period after God has spoken?
It's a period. People make a comma, but you just have to be obedient. And if you're not, what consequences come, they're yours based on your
Okay, so Dee, without incriminating yourself, would you say it's fair to say that you were obedient all the way through? Would you say that it's fair to say that you were?
You're saying through my marriage?
No. Prior to marriage, Were you obedient when it came to intimacy with the abstinence of intimacy prior to marriage?
No, and that was a choice, and I had consequences and I had to deal with them. And that's what makes my conviction even stronger. Every time something comes up or I make a choice and I end up having consequences, my conviction is even stronger. But there's still a period after what he says. That doesn't change his word. His word still holds true. It's we that make the decisions we make.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here. Sir Ben, do you think it's difficult to abstain from intimacy until you get married when your hormones are already out of balance when you're 16, 17, and hopefully you're not even considering marriage at that age? Or were we supposed to be considering marriage at that age, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think anything is difficult or anything is impossible. It's got to be, you know, what's been deposited into you and how it's being deposited and how it's being received. Like, we talk about conversations. You can have conversations about abstinence and, you know, hey, don't do this and this thing can happen. But is the person who you're talking to understanding what you're saying? And so if they're not understanding what you're saying, then it's just a conversation. I believe that everything is possible if you take your time and slowly help a child or young person develop an understanding about why they're having the hormonal problems, what's going on, identify with them. Hey, listen, I understand. I used to go through the same thing. And you got to fill their minds up with things that are necessary to help them in their overall development. Listen, I realize this must happen, but let me put some in front of you, like a future or a career or life that will give you great opportunities and great, but if you go down this alley, then you're going to go down this way. And let me show you what it looks like. And you got to give them pictures of both. Hey, these people are good people. There's nothing wrong with them. They just made one choice that changed their lives for a short period of time, 18 years. And then you have these people who made a different choice, and their lives is totally different. I'm not saying that you're not going to do what I'm telling you to do. What I'm saying is I want you to have a choice and let you know that your life is going to go either to the left or to the right.
Okay, so, Sir Ben, without incriminating yourself, if I may present the question, would you say that you managed prior to getting married?
I pretty much I did, because I had some parents that were like, they didn't play the radio with you. I mean, my mom was pretty upfront. Listen, if it didn't leave the house with you, it better not come back in the house with you. And that was understood. Not to mention I had five other brothers and sisters who were ahead of me that they didn't do those things. They didn't bring in children and all that kind of stuff. So it was an easy fix for me to follow. Hey, and I would talk to them, hey, man, how did you get through it? Well, no, you don't do it because, you know, mama going to kill you. See, and we had the fear of my parents in us that, no, I ain't trying to do that. As a matter of fact, the way that our mother raised us with honor and respect, we were not even allowed to disrespect our parents' name. You talking about having a baby? No. My mom and dad was like, if you go out and you cause a problem and it gets back to me, you might not do so well in that case. And so, again, that might have been a little bit barbaric to some people now, but guess what? It worked for us.
Okay, so, Sir Ben, so the question, without incriminating yourself, did you abstain, you know, for the first time until you got married? Because you said that nothing, you know, is not that difficult or not that problematic. But then our hormones, you said the hormones are not a problem. But, in fact, they could be a problem because that's part of a developmental stage. So would you say that you, if it was not that difficult, it wasn't difficult for you to abstain? And if it wasn't, help those of us who are listening that out here that can share with their children. Okay, you don't have to. And I know you've given things to keep them busy, but then can that override their natural thing that comes within them that God put in them?
Yes.
Okay, so I can talk about my children because I understand. I had a very intimate relationship with my children in terms of what we could discuss, what we talked about. We were very open and honest about things. I clearly can tell you I have three children, and one is married and one is getting ready to get married, and they were very upfront and honest with me about their status, and they were all, versions all the way through up to now. My kids are 18, 21, and 28. So what I'm saying is that they made a conscious decision based on the relationship that they had with us. And they were able to maintain their sanctity of who they were. So now, if you want to go back to me, I was so busy in my life from, you know, up through high school, college. I was involved in so many things that I wasn't concerned about certain things of that nature at that time because I had such a busy life, and I enjoyed having a busy life at that time. Now, I didn't get married until I was almost 30. After I reached a certain age, a maturity where I can make mature and intelligent decisions, then, yes, I made those errors. I made those choices. And, yes, I did did break that covenant in terms of marriage. But you have to understand, my high school girlfriend later became my wife. So it wasn't like she and I ever had any type of interest. So I was new to her and she was new to me. But the basic understanding is that you get to a certain age of maturity, 25, 27, you can make good choices about who your partner is and about what your body and your life and things are. At 18, 19, not so much, because you're right. It is driven based on the hormonal status of life. Now, I applaud people who can sustain up to those times and think, great, I applaud you. That was not my case. My children, I could say, hey, I applaud you. But once they got of age, because that's what the word says, teach your children that they may not, you know, when they come of age, then they'll be able to take what you've given them. And so life is about choices. I don't believe we really make wrong choices. I don't think that our choices should define us, but they do in some cases. But I still believe you have a free right and free will, a free choice. And God understands that. But sometimes we put so much emphasis on what not to do, we don't help people in what they're going to do, prepare what they're going to do. And it's better if you're preparing them for the challenges of life. At least they go into it with information and with some understanding of maturity, as opposed to just letting somebody else tell you any and everything, and then you end up with problems.
Okay. So, Sir Ben, let me take you here. In the Garden of Eden, where God placed the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden, in the center of the garden, where he didn't place it in a far-off path. He placed it in the center. So Adam and Eve had to perhaps often pass this tree, and he had given them instructions. So, Sir Ben, Adam and Eve, who could talk, we know that Adam talked with God. We know that he spoke with God. God talked directly to Adam, not through a mediator or anyone. So when they broke that covenant, then would you think that we're their ancestry? We're part of their ancestry. Would you think, is it fair to say that it even becomes more difficult for perhaps us who don't talk necessarily directly to God, or he talks directly to us? Would you say that's fair to say that it is kind of difficult? Sir Ben? Perhaps he's just standing by.
I'm sorry, I was thinking, no. What I would say quickly is Adam and Eve are the epitome of who we are. They were faced with challenges like we're faced with challenges in life, you know, picking decisions and choices. And so a lot of times the decisions that we make are based on what? Feelings, emotions, quick response, oh, well, everybody else is doing, let me go. So, yeah, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this with all due respect. That tree was necessary because what it did was it tested us to our inability to be able to stay where we were supposed to be. They had it all. But even having it all, sometimes life has challenges that get thrown at you and you make a mistake or you fall down. And so that's why I said I don't think there's good or bad decisions. It's just that you made a decision, and the decision has a consequence. I always say to myself, hey, you're going to make that decision. Are you willing to suffer whatever consequence come with that decision, good or bad? And my answer is yes for both of them. Okay, so be it. Here's a question I want to put to you all. If there had not been a tree in the Garden of Eden, would we have ever known how much Adam and Eve really worship God?
If, you know what, that's a very, very valid question, because we would never know, because there would be no sin. And so we wouldn't have a reason, perhaps, in my opinion, we wouldn't have a reason to know, because there would be no evil. There would be no degradation of life, because we would already be living in an eternal mode, because we have the tree of life there in heaven. The tree of life was there, and all we had to do was continuously eat from that. Those are my thoughts. Back to you, Sir Ben.
So with that being said, the plan of salvation was created before the earth was ever even put into its place. So the Godhead already knew what was going to happen. And so with that being said, it's actually an honor and privilege to know that our lives have already been given the chance for the same process that Adam and Eve had, eternal life and salvation. What an honor and privilege. I can sit here and say to you, Dr. Walker, your life has already been set up so that you could be with your Heavenly Father forever at the end of this mortal life. All you have to do is give your will over to God, acknowledge Him, and do what He said. Simple. That's what we do as parents. We do that all the time. And as children, because everybody's a child at some point to somebody, as children, that's what we want. Hey, listen, I need you to follow the directions I'm giving you. I need you to understand that you don't have your own way with doing things, because I'm your parent and I know a little bit more than you do. And so I want you to give your free will over to me to help me direct you and direct your path. And if you do that and you follow what I'm telling you, you'll have a great life.
But, Sir Ben, are we supposed to surrender our will, our total will, to God? If that's the case, then why did He give us free choice, which is also interchangeable for free will? Why would He give us that if He wants it all back? He didn't create us to be robots. So why would we give our total will? That means we're not capable of making decisions, because He gave us the freedom to choose. And the plan of salvation, yes, He created that because He knew what would happen. So then, I mean, isn't this just prophecy or prophetic that this had to take place, perhaps for other worlds? Or the battle was with Him and Lucifer. That's where the battle was. It was never our fight. It was His match with Lucifer, because Lucifer influenced a third of the angels from their own free choice that God gave them. Your thoughts on that, Sir Ben?
So, correct, and everything that you said, correct. And, I know if we don't know this, but see, Lucifer went to other worlds too, but they weren't prepared
right
for that. Nah, you understand? So, Adam and Eve are, like I said, great examples of what it means to exercise free will. They exercise their own free will, no matter how you look at it. So, the challenge was, they only serve you because they fear you, and they don't want to. And He said, oh, no, that's not the case. And so even in our failures, which is the best part of it, even in our failure, when we utilize our free will, He came up with a plan of salvation that covered us, the sacrificial lamb of His Son, that covered us in spite of our own free will and free decisions. So the submission is not about giving up our free will. The submission is a willingness to give up your will because you understand what was done to solidify your life after forever in heaven.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Sir Ben. Very deep philosophy and thought process. And certainly you're on to something. In my opinion, you certainly are. Let's go in here. Sparkles, I want to bring you in, and thank you all for your patience. We're just about out of time. Sparkles, I want to bring you in here. Sparkles, the Word of God gives us instruction, as He gave Adam instructions. And we've already said on tonight's show that the Word of God is the authority. But now, I mean, when we add that word but, it seems like a conjunction or going after God with that, you know, when he's placed a period or an exclamation mark there. So, Sparkles, in your opinion, how do we be obedient? How do we be obedient at this age and at this stage when you've tasted that fruit of intimacy and now you're no longer with that partner? How do we be obedient? Sparkles.
In my opinion, it's not hard, but it is hard. We have to remove self out of the way.
Well, wait a minute now.
Our mindset has to be not flesh and all and into your feelings and flesh and all and stuff like that, in my opinion, and all that stuff, that we need to be into the Word of God and praying and asking him to give you the strength to abstain from giving in to your feelings that you have for someone.
Okay, so Sparkles, again,
way,
you said it's not difficult, but then you also said in the same sentence that it is difficult.
Just humanly speaking, for me. Okay, I can just only speak for me, okay? It is difficult when I want to give in and all that stuff, because I don't want to be obedient. I just want to do what I want to do. I don't want to be obedient. I know what God's word says. That's just the honest God truth. But then on the other hand and all that stuff like that, it's a struggle. It is a struggle. Yes, difficult, but then it shouldn't be difficult and all that stuff like that. If I truly, truly want to please and to honor God, that I should focus more on into the Word and asking God to help me not to give in to my sinful temptations.
Okay, Sparkles, we certainly do appreciate you being so candid with us. Ms. J, just before I bring Ms. J in, Ms. Joyce, I want to go to you. Ms. Joyce, pretty much the same question. How can, you know, each person has their own cross to bear. Would you say that's fair to say, Ms. Joyce?
I would.
Okay, so having said that, what may be difficult for some people may not be as difficult for other people when we have a nature about us that we ourselves then put this nature in us. It's part of our developmental stages of our creation. So if you, case in point, if the man can't seem to, you know, and psychologically science tells us, and science psychology tells us that men are always thinking about intimacy. We can look at a woman, and for some men, it's overwhelming because you're like, especially if she's beautiful and got a nice body, even if he's married, he's still looking and lurking in some cases because that woman's body is just incredible. And so it help us, Holy Ghost. It's his mindset. So having said that, Ms. Joyce, it's a little different because you all are not men, and we said last night that women, some women feel the same way, their desires. So this desire within us, so Ms. Joyce, when we now, how can we control that? If the man hasn't, he can't find a wife to marry, or he meets a woman and she says, well, you want this, you got to put a ring on it, right? Put a ring on it. And he's just meets her, you know, and after 3 months, and then she says, you're going to have to wait until I'm married. And he really likes her, but, like, Ms. Joyce, do you really think that man is prone to wait? And, you know, he might not even like you like that, and, you know, down the road. What do you think, Ms. Joyce?
Well, I think that it all depends on the developmental stage and where you are in your life with your body and your soul. And you need to come to some kind of compromise or be on the same page with that person and whatever your beliefs are, and if they are not the beliefs of the other person, then there's probably not going to be a relationship going on.
Okay, so, but Ms. Joyce, let me ask you this question. Then I want to bring Ms. J in. Ms. Joyce, is it possible that, let's just say if a woman says this, because, you know, and from my research and survey, men are more prone to be desirous quicker than some women, and women can perhaps sustain themselves more so than a man can. So is it fair to say, in your opinion, Ms. Joyce, that that might be a tactic that some women might use as manipulation to try to force marriage?
Again, if you are in your 20s and 30s, that might be something that you are doing to manipulate someone. But as, if you are in a older age, you are in your 40s, 50s, or 60s, that's not a priority all the time. So, it, like I said, it depends on the developmental stage and where you are with your mind, body, and soul.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, Ms. Joyce. Ms. J, I want to bring you in here and ask this question. And the question becomes, Ms. J, say you have a son, and he's in his 30s, his mid-30s, and he likes this young lady. And he comes to you, and you know, he doesn't like her to the point where he's trying to get married, and she claims to be this religious person, and he likes her and she likes him, but she teases him sometimes, and he comes to you and he don't really want to have this conversation with you because you're his mom, and he, you know, say he's not able to go to his father, but he comes to you and he's like, Mom, I really like this girl. Well, he probably is not going to, he's going to be really reluctant to have this conversation with you, but somehow or other, if
not
you...
Not really, my son did. My son did.
Okay, so he comes to you then, Ms. J, and he says, you know, Mom, I know all you taught me about protection and so forth and so on, but I really like her, and I'm not ready to get married. I'm in my mid-30s. I'm a professional. And he says, you know, Mom, she doesn't want to do anything unless I get married. What would you tell your son, Ms. J?
Well, if you're having this strong urge, son, and, you know, this woman don't want to have, you know, get until she get married, you're not ready for marriage, you can't force her. So,
right.
You know, maybe that might be something you have to just accept if you want to continue to be with her, or you have to move on, you know, if that's something, a strong urge that you have. But let me throw this out. I just want to say this. I'm going to color outside the line for a minute. You know?
Okay.
Intimacy is a gift from God, you know. And the U.S. government marriage, signed a contract, is not stipulated, not even mentioned in the Bible. If my son, we'll use that example, and this young lady, they love each other, truly love each other, but they're trying to get their education and do whatever. They know they can't get married right now. And they love each other, and they want to really be together intimately. But they said, Mama, we both pray together. We stand before God, and we commit ourselves to him and our love for each other. And, you know, we feel that once we do that, God knows our heart and know how we love him and how we love each other. You know, I feel to us that is our marriage before God. So, you know, the other marriage is the government marriage. So that's not sin if I tell God, if we say some little vows before God. They consider that a marriage until they can completely do the government marriage. I don't have any problem with that. God sees their heart. They spoke with God. They said, Lord, God, I will take care of, honor, and cherish her to death do us part and to the plans we get married. They say all them words before God. Because in the Bible, they didn't have the contracts and stuff you signed. So you can be married in the eyes of God. And if you can do that where you truly, truly love that person, I don't see any problem wrong with intimacy before the government marriage.
Okay, so Ms. J, but the Bible does say in Matthew 22, render unto Caesar what Caesar's. And Caesar's referred to as the government. And so unless it trumps God's law. So what do you think about that?
I still feel you know, you're still, according to a lot of things in the Bible, sinning. Sin is a sin. There's no sin greater than other sins. I understand that. But if for some reason you can't get married, maybe 20, 30, 50 years from now, you might be 80 years old. You're not able to get married. You're going to go all through your life, and it's a gift from God to be intimate. And you'll never, never be intimate because you can never, never get married.
So
I'm just saying. I'm just calling outside the lines. That's all.
And it's okay to call outside the lines because that's how we learn. So the thing is, when you say 80, you know, well, some men still have problems by 80 years old. You know, heaven help us. Hopefully we don't all have these issues. But render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And I get what you're saying with the government. And you can't take those vows before God. I do believe that as well. But let me ask you this question. So let me ask this question here because we're clearly running out of time. Miss Jane, Solomon had 700 wives, and he was the wisest man that ever lived. In fact, God said, according to the scriptures, that he would never make a man that wise again. So was it justified that he had 700 wives, that he took a vow before God, in your opinion now, and then he had 300 concubines, these were his mistresses, that perhaps he had not consummated with? Talk to me, Ms. Jane.
Not really, because I still believe in one man, one woman. Not no all of those, you know.
So where did that, I mean, did God allow this, the wisest man to ever live?
He allowed it, yes, he allowed it,
Okay, so
he allowed
so
it,
he didn't need.
Did he say, you know, what, and then he kind of put, he kind of ceased that too, then he, when he started, what was it, when he started talking about the inner Corinthians and Paul or whatever, he started talking about the
he talks about his
one man
vanity
and one
vexation
wife, you know?
Of spirit. That's what he said. But he wasn't only talking about that. He was talking about just about everything, the riches, everything of life. He talked about the his vanity and vexation of spirit. So that's what he made reference to those scriptures throughout, you know, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs. He was talking about that with all that he had gone through with all of this here. But I don't recall, and someone correct me if you know this, where God condoned him for his actions with all of this. So then now, or is it Miss J, when some cultures, they have multiple marriages. And even here in the United States, that
yes,
group, their group here in the United States, the, I don't want to correct, say the wrong thing, is it the Mormons or someone, where they just don't get a license, but they have several wives and part of the Muslims. They have. They don't get a license because it becomes illegal then, polygamy or bigamy. So they don't.
Yeah.
So now, are they honoring God's word? And what is the word of God saying about romance and intimacy? Ms. J, your thoughts, if any different.
I guess they're honoring the way that they read and interpret God's word. You know, that's all I can say.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're clearly running out of time, you all, and we want to get to some more folks. Sir Ben, stand by. Let's go over here now. Darren Deedy, I want to bring you back in here. Darren Deedy, we've covered a lot tonight. Darren Deedy, in your mindset, you know, we talked even last night, and we talk about, you know, the Word of God. So is it within his permissive will that we're disobedient? You know, is he allowing us to be disobedient? And because he's that God who loves us unconditionally, or will we suffer the consequences, Darren Deedy, for our actions and our behaviors?
Yes, we do suffer our consequences. But, of course, you know, there's that free will. And to show your love to God, you should, you know, restrain from doing such act. But he loves us unconditionally, even if we were to go through with the act. But our love for Christ should be what overrules us, right?
I'm not laughing at you, but it's the way you said it. Even if we go through the act, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I didn't want to say the word.
I know. I understand. Go ahead, and I appreciate you. Go ahead.
You know, that's my thought on it. So.
Okay, Pastor Rowe, let's bring you in here, Pastor Rowe. man has been with this woman for 6 months. They're both religious. And just a short version of this, Pastor Rose, he's been with her for 6 months. They're both religious, but it's like they're not thinking about marriage, but they're only 22. And they're like, whoa, they're climbing walls because they're trying to get to each other. So now, Pastor Rose, what should happen? Should they, you know, Scripture tells us better to marry than to burn. So that's what my mother raised us up on, is better to marry than to burn. So you're scared to even touch a girl. You think she's going to get pregnant. So, Pastor Rose, what are your thoughts?
Well, like you were saying, you know what does the Word of God say about romance and intimacy? And we talked about, you know, the different laws and the Mosaic and so on and so forth, you know. And, you know, I think we as parents, you know, we have to teach our children, you know. And I have been, in the next 10 seconds, I've been greatly influenced by Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich, you know, how to transmute your thoughts, you know, to monetary or physical, emotional equivalence, you know. And he talks about sex transmutation, you know. So your thoughts become actions, and your actions bring about results. You know, and for those who want to get in deeper detail, just order the book, Amazon or whatever, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and look at the chapter that deals with sex transmutation. Take your mind off it and how to put it on. Thoughts become actions, and action brings about results. So that's my thoughts quickly on that subject, how to get away. God uses man, his thoughts became actions. I'm going to make me an earth, you know. So on and so, and he made it, you know, and it emanated from thought. And we can get anything we want when we thought and have the right actions, and it'll bring about the results that we require, and stay away from sexual immoralities. You know, that's how to get your mind off it. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
So, Pastor Rowe, you actually really think it's that easy to get your mind off of it? And I'm very familiar with Napoleon Hill's writing. As a matter of fact, his copyright was in 1960. Then they did some reprints of it in 1983 and 1990. And in chapter one, he actually refers to what you're talking about. He talks very much about that, thoughts are things. And he was talking about perhaps from a subliminal mindset or a psychological mindset, you know, as they later developed a book called The Secret. And we're taught that in psychology, actually, about what you think about, you can bring about. The laws of attraction and so forth, whether that be money or whatever it is. And he goes on in chapter two with desire. And I hold a copy of his book, The Salt Bag, right in my hand as we talk right now, Napoleon Hill. And so, but a 17-year-old, Pastor Roll, is not likely thinking about Napoleon Hill. He's never even heard, he or she has never even heard of Napoleon Hill, which, let me just ask you, is it fair to say that you may have heard of Napoleon Hill in your 40s or 50s, Pastor Rowe, or did you hear of him when you were in your teens?
I heard of him in my 40s or 50s, you know. But, you know, you know, as a teacher, you've been a teacher, whatever, you know, and we got hidden secrets revealed, you know. We know how to talk to our children. You look at Thomas Edison, you know. He had a dream. He had thoughts about a light burning, da-da-da-da-da, but he had his eureka moment, his eureka experience. He thought about having a light, and then it happened. You know, so we have to, it's various applications, but we have to teach our children how to apply those applications to whatever they desire, for whatsoever things you desire when you pray, you know. So you think about it, and then God give you the steps to get in that. That's one thing, next 3 seconds, Muhammad Ali was great, you know, because he thought that that person go down in three in the second round or whatever, you know. But, you know, that thought just came to me in my, you know, you become what you think about. But you get the right steps to get to where you want to go. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Right. Thank you, Pastor Rowe. And there's another book, The Richest Man That Ever Lived. And this had to do with, I can't recall his name right now, but this couple contracted him to stay at their house for the weekend. They paid him $25,000 to write the book of Proverbs, and they made millions of dollars off of that investment of $25,000. Og Medino, I think it was, where they picked his brain for that entire weekend, paid him $25,000, and then they wrote a book that sold millions of copies. They made multiple millions on that. And all it did was talk about, it broke down Proverbs. Like you're thinking about Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. So these are things, but when we look at the Word of God, and we're going to conclude, we're running out of time here. We're going to do a part two on this one here. But I just want to say what the Word of God says about romance and intimacy. Be fruitful and multiply. And then just, we're not going to do a closing tonight, but I just want to give you all something to think about. You know, it comes down to what a lot of us have said tonight. You know, whether it's a responsible adult, consensual decision that we're making out here, and then the consequences become ours. But once we've touched the tree, the law calls some trees, some actually legalities in law, the fruit of the poisonous tree. But once you've tasted something with your natural hormones, this is a nature that we have within each and every one of us, and some of our desires are stronger than others. But the question wasn't even answered tonight about this 22-year-old couple that they're climbing walls because they're trying to get to each other. We have to go and search for ourselves and ask God to lead us, because certainly I don't see 17-year-olds having a responsible mind to go out and try to get married. I don't see that. And, you know, but at some point we're saying here tonight that we need to teach children what we didn't even do our practice ourselves, you know, about abstinence. You know, and I love what a lot of you all said tonight. Education, information is the key to a lot of this, to have an informed mind, hoping that you will make an informed, responsible decision when you do decide to participate. Whether, I'm not here to judge anybody, to say whether your choice of engaging was right or wrong, but you can certainly take vows and see a lot of things that we don't go and read for ourselves, we're taking somebody else's word for it. Because the word wife in Greek and Hebrew means woman. So I know the Bible says that the man who finds a wife findeth a good thing, but the word wife means woman. So I'm going to encourage you all, if you want to really get into the Word of God and see what the etymology of words are, to find out what they mean, look at perhaps the original language that they were written in. Get a Hebrew book. Get a, Greek book. You can get these here, and I have one. I have one that gives you various interpretations of language, you know, from the original to the English, and then you got to look at also, go back into the Roman Empire, where a lot of religions came out of the Roman, you know, Catholicism. You know, for example, Saturday was the day, a day that God set as the Ten Commandments to be his sanctified day. But the Roman Catholic Constantine came in the year A.D. 321 or 325, and he changed that to make it Sunday, to make it Sunday, when God clearly made it Saturday. So he came and he changed it, and those that did not worship on Sundays, he persecuted them. And when I was in Spain for a period of time, you know, the calendar over there was changed, that Monday was the first day of the week over there in Spain. And then slowly as you begin to look at it, the Bible talks about, you know, that the times will change. They will think to change even the calendar. And now they're starting to gradually bring it in places that you wouldn't even expect to make Monday the first day of the week. Listen, folks, we're out of time. There's so much information out there for all of us to go study to show ourselves approved. Please, please find you some books that you can ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into spirit and truth, and learn that the battle was not ours. The battle was never ours. It was between God and Lucifer, and God's going to win because he has already won. And he even gave the Lucifer an opportunity to come back, but he ran out of probation. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here just 30 seconds. Sir Ben, do you know that there was a time, a probationary period, when Lucifer and his angels could have come back into heaven, and God would have allowed that? Sir Ben.
Yes, there was a period of time where the offer was put in front of him for him to repent and rejoin back with the ranks of the heavenly hosts and angels and the Godhead, and he rescinded that offer. But it was there. It was actually put there in front of him. And he decided to stay in his own way of thinking. And so that happens. So here we are.
Here we are. Here we are. Listen, we're out of time, you all. I got to get off the air. They're threatening me. Listen, I thank all of you all for your patience, for your time, for your love for this programming. We'll be back here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. If you choose to bypass that, we'll be back next Friday night for your one-hour inspirational program. Until next Thursday, until next Friday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.